This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Howdy, third hour. What's going on? What's going on? Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. On this Friday around the country, hope all's well. Tiki is out. And Tiki's recharging the batteries, justifiably so. He'll be back on Tuesday. And I am inside my usual studio, the Rocket Mortgage Studio. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can. So, good stuff with Will Middlebrooks. I want to use him a lot during the baseball season. He is a guy who I think is going to climb up the ladder as he get some more reps. I know he's been doing a lot of stuff, obviously, for CBS Sports HQ, and he and I have gone back and forth a little bit on Twitter. I like his style. Obviously, he's still a pretty young guy, and he started out, you know, and what I like about Will, he's personable, he's smart, but he's also coming from an interesting position because he had success early. Like, I remember watching from a Yankees point of view, like, when Will came up, I'm like, man, this, all right, he's another guy we got to worry about for a couple of years. You always assess your, you know, your real competitor, and you say, all right, well, who's in the pipeline? And I thought Will was going to, you know, really, really pop. And early on, he had some good years. They won the championship in 2013. I think got 500 at-bats year two. Had a respectable, you know, slash across the board. And then he had some injuries, and then he bounced around at the back end of that, and he played for a couple teams. But I think that somebody that has, you know, been at the top of the mountain, and he was as an ascending young player who was playing a lot for a champion, and then to be humbled and, you know, to be out of the game, you know, a lot earlier than I'm sure he thought when he was at his apex with the Red Sox, I think it creates a real good, great point of reference and a great database to talk about the game, because you can relate on most levels to, you know, the upper tier stuff. But you could also relate to when a guy loses a swing or when a guy bounces around. I think he's going to be a pretty good, I think he already is pretty good, but I think he's going to be a very good analyst. So we'll be booking him a lot during the baseball season. I'm happy he hopped on. All right, so D-Cell is 32 years old. D-Cell is our engineer. He's in charge of our sound library. You know, does a lot of video content. He's got about three or four hats. Of course, I only pay him for one, but he's got about four or five hats, not three or four. So D-Cell, because you're still a young buck, relatively speak, 32. When I ask you, back to the NBA here, when I ask you, D-Cell, what, not this year, give me a couple of words that describe the New York Knicks.
Not this season?
Not this season. In your lifetime.
Morbid?
So you were born in, if I have it, what, 87? What year is that, 87?
88.
You were born in 88. Go ahead.
I mean, just snake bitten.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Lost.
Yeah, poorly run.
Confused.
A joke. Yeah, confused, a joke. Deplorably run in most situations. Yeah, I mean, those all fit.
Embarrassing?
Yes, we get it, buddy. You can stop piling on now. Points made. So you were born 6 years before the Knicks got to the finals against the Rockets in 94. Then, of course, they got back there in 99 when Ewing was beat up and they lost 4-2 to our buddy Avery Johnson, the Spurs, at the start of the dynasty there with Sprewell in Houston. All right, so you know what's coming here, and I don't know that enough people really see this. I know that most people, if not everybody, not even most, I think everybody that watches the game certainly realizes, and has been quick to laud the transformation, not into power. That's not where I'm going, even though they're a 5 seed right now. They've had a relatively easy schedule. And if I had to put money down, I would not put money down for the Knicks to finish 5. I think they'll tumble down the standings. I do think they'll be a playoff team. I did not think that coming into the season, to be fair. But I do think they'll finish in that, you know, 8 to 10 range, which will be a playoff, possibly 7, possibly secure, you know, not having to mess around with that extra stuff. But it's not about that. What most people see that, because that's obvious. You put on the Knicks, or you look at the stats, and you see tremendous defensive numbers. Thibodeau and his influence on certainly on Randall, who's transformed his body. Last night he had 27, 16, and 7 assists. They smacked the Pistons. He's just balling. He's become a star. And, you know, he's really taking on a leadership role. I think they may have missed with Toppin. I'm going to say may have. I could probably go a little deeper in that, but I want to be fair to the young man. But he's not getting any burn, and that's not who I would have picked. You know that. I'm not saying everything's perfect with the Knicks. But I ask D-Cell's perspective from his age, and I bring it all in this direction to present this to you. That this is something that nobody really sees coming. The Knicks right now are in a position they've already slowly eradicated the stench that engulfed the building for 20 years, save for that one good year with Melo and Amari, right? 54 wins, Mike Woodson. Everything else been trash. Now, the Knicks are being viewed differently. I don't mean by KD. You could still, not that he's taking a shot, but, you know, KD didn't want to play for the Knicks. I don't blame him at that point. He didn't want to be around Dolan. The Knicks weren't good. I'm not going to sign up for that. He wanted to go and, you know, line up with his guy Kyrie and go play for the Nets. That's cool. I'm not talking about the guys who are 28, 29, 30, or in Durant's case, I think 31 or 32. I'm not talking about those guys. Not LeBron, who's in his mid-30s. Not those players. What's happening now, though, kids who are in college, kids who are in high school, granted, this is the initial wave of the transformation of the Knicks, which inevitably, I hope, eventually leads to a championship for the first time in my lifetime. I've never seen one. Like my football team. But you have to understand that while social media has been unkind to the Knicks, and rightfully so, even though Knicks Twitter Nation is phenomenal, I'm talking about all the dissenters and, you know, the punchlines, the late night jokes. I get it. We've earned it. What's slowly happening, there's this shift in perception. And that's beginning at an earlier age for a lot of players who now see, oh, man, this guy Randall, he's an all-star. Wow. So, like, when a 10-year-old watches the all-star game Sunday night, you actually see something that says Knicks on it, or a guy with the Knicks logo on next to his name. Haven't seen that. I mean, you've seen that once in 10 years, and basically one player, too. And it's been non-existent. And what happens from that? Well, then suddenly you start to maybe follow that team a little bit more, and suddenly, you know, if they have a nice addition this summer, the networks start to take notice. And then guess what happens? Then the Knicks are actually on national TV a little bit. And then once that happens, now you are entrenched. Not that you are a heavyweight. I'm not saying that within the NBA. But you are now sitting at the table with the teams that matter. The Knicks are one move away. Like the Knicks are, and I don't think it's going to happen this year, but the Knicks are a Zach LaVine move away, or Bradley Beal move away from, I don't know what. Like, if the Knicks took the court every night with Randall and one of those two guys, and it's an 82-game season, the Knicks are a borderline 50-win team. Borderline 50, I don't even know if it's borderline. I would think they'd be a definitive top four team in the East. So, the sentiment, which were fully justified, are now thawing. It's changing, right? And while that might not impact the product for the 10-year-old kid who's on the couch who sees Randall on Sunday night, you know, from the Knicks, Julius Randle. Like, that resonates with kids. I know it resonated with me as a kid. Anytime you hear, you know, and same with you for your teams. That sticks with you. That's why you watch. That's why, truth be told, I have always defended, you know, Major League Baseball having a player from each team on the All-Star game, Because my favorite part of the All-Star, I mean, I know it's a Jets hat, but the favorite part, as I grab for something on my desk, the best part of the All-Star game for me is when they introduce all the players and they take off their cat and they go like this to the crowd. Because as in 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, my whole childhood, you know, to see Dave Winfield and Don Mattingly and Willie Randolph and Ron Guidry do that with regularity, even though my Yankees weren't winning, it just, man, it gripped me. It pulled me. It was, and I was always aware, as I got this thing called the microphone in front of me about 20 years ago, even though the Yankees are a brand of you know, dynastic quality and all these championships that I've enjoyed, I always stood up for, you know, when the Tampa Bay Devil Rays were still the Devil Rays. You know what? I want some kid in Tampa who's 8 years old to see his guy, even if he's not a true all-star, but he's kind of there because he's got to be. I want to see that little kid, all right, see that Tampa Bay Devil Ray in 2001, take his cap, whatever the year is, 2004, address the and be inspired by that. Just like I want to see the Pirates, who were terrible right now, have that representation so that young kid in Pittsburgh can gravitate to that and remain a Pirates fan and have an investment and a connection to that. So while the kid is going to get excited watching Randall Sunday night, what's really happening, and this is what's not, this is not spoken about, eventually, now that the stench is gone, been fumigated, now that Dolan's finally, they finally locked them up and kept them away from the team, not a peep from Dolan, thank God. Not a syllable uttered this entire season. Players take notice of that. And when that starts to happen, and it's not just an anomaly like, oh, wow, the Knicks are off to a pretty good start. They're a game over 500 at the All-Star break. When that kind of becomes the norm, right, and you're consistently 500, and let's face it, if the Knicks are consistently 500, the Knicks will be on national TV 20 times a year because it's a New York market, and you'll get eyeballs, and you'll get ratings, and you'll make money. The NBA's not dumb. But when you're, you know, 18 and 50, whatever it is, every year, you have no business being on TV because no one's going to watch. Better off keeping them on MSG, where the devout Knicks fans like me will watch. So eventually, a free agent's going to say, and it's not that far away, he's going to say, you know what? I want that New York on my chest. And I want to play in that building that for the last 20 years has only been like a stage for opponents to come in, whether it's Kobe dropping 60 or LeBron doing the same, and games I've seen with my own eyes. It has been a launching pad for superstars of other teams to come in and just make their mark, eviscerate the Knicks, and be the lead in SportsCenter, doing their thing in front of 20,000 people, going nuts at the best building, in my opinion, in sports, indoor arena, right? It's coming. It is coming. The way the Knicks are viewed is dramatically altered. Again, small sample. But this was such a necessary first step. And then you incorporate the guys who are running the Knicks. Leon Rose? I mean, the juice that that guy has, the connections that that guy has. Now that players have seen, okay, it's been stabilized. It's been stabilized. Now, not only is the product better, right, but there are guys running the team that I've known my whole professional life, most of them going back to college too, and for some of them when they were high school studs. These are guys I trust. These are guys I will invest 4 or 5 years in with a max deal. Yeah, I'll go play for the Knicks. I'm 25 years old. I'm 26. I'm in the next wave of superstar. Maybe it's Devin Booker. I don't know. You know, maybe Devin Booker. I know that they're having great renaissance, and it's great for Phoenix Suns fans, but you know, there's a great connection. Half the Knicks staff is from Kentucky. And we know Calipari is basically, in essence, a mouthpiece for the Knicks. I don't know. Maybe Devin Booker, when CP3 retires or whatever, maybe he positions himself, I want to play for the Knicks. It's coming. And that's what people see. People are latching on to the fact that the Knicks are finally no longer a laughing stock, which, trust me, is rewarding. But that's the small stuff. The big stuff is not yet visible. You have to really search for it. But because I just told you about it, you no longer have to search. So, Diesel, your entire sporting existence, the Knicks have been, as we said, a doormat and all the other ways to describe them, but they've been viewed as toxic.
You heard what I just said. You think I'm onto something where it actually changes? I don't mean this summer. By the way, there's no real great free agents this summer anyway. But that the perception has changed enough where somebody in the middle, entering their prime, all right, will be emboldened enough to finally say, I want in on the Knicks. You feeling that or no? And for the record, even if you say no, you're wrong. But I just want to know if you think that what I said made sense.
Well, it's good to know. It's good to know that going in.
Because that made complete sense. But anyway, go ahead.
They're absolutely having that stepping stone season to turn things around. And to go along with what you said, I think one of the biggest steps, too, was Tom Thibodeau.
Yep.
I mean, that's instant credibility right there. I think the perception has changed, and I think they will attract free agents. I still question whether they'll get that A1 top flight free agent.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, let me ask you that. Fair enough. You know, until it happens, I can understand why people would say that. But if, let's say that Julius Randle, let's just say that Julius Randle, the 3 years prior to this season, if he put up the same numbers, wouldn't Julius Randle be considered an A-plus free agent? If Julius Randle, at 6'8", at age 25, was averaging 24 points, which he is, 11 rebounds, which he is, 6 assists, which he is, and shooting 40% from downtown, which he is, transformed his body. If Julius Randle was doing this for 3-4 years, that's not an A-level free agent? It might be an A-minus if you want to really split hairs, but it's not a B-plus. It's either an A or an A-minus. So I can make the case, because I believe this is who Randle will remain. I could already make the case they've got one. I could already make that case. And I could even make this case that Randle's impact on the Knicks will be far more profound and resonate much more in a lasting, effective way than Carmelo Anthony's ever did. He didn't win anything, Carmelo. He didn't make guys better. Now, I'm happy that he's found a different chapter with Portland. I'm not trying to beg on Carmelo, but if you lived through that chapter and you watched every Knicks game, it was ball stopping, it was bad shot selection, and it was horrendous defense. And it was really not finding the open man. Julius Randle is efficient. He finds the open man, and he rebounds. And he plays 40 minutes a night. And he's in great supreme shape, something that was part of the criticism of Carmelo. I love what I'm seeing. And not just because they beat a bad Pistons team with a decimated roster last night. I'm not overreacting to the record. This is not about me saying, I mean, you could probably twist this if you want. Take a clip of the, oh, look, Tierney saying the Knicks are back. That's not what I said. I said what's happened now to the Knicks is that in the weeds, if you actually have the desire to search, if you want to lift up the hood of the New York Knicks, it is as sustainable and as encouraging as it's been in, I mean, you can throw 12, however many years you want to attach to it. That's the point. And I believe it's going to get incrementally better and better. And that's awesome for the Knicks. More importantly, or as important, it's awesome for the NBA. Because this modern NBA, they've never enjoyed the Knicks being even remotely relevant. Social media, I mean, all these national games. Knicks have been a minor league team. The NBA hasn't needed the Knicks because you had the Splash Brothers, you had LeBron in his prime. But, you know, as the Warriors, and maybe the Warriors have this great renaissance next year, maybe, as LeBron ages out, you still have Doncic who's just getting stuff. Like, there's obviously great players everywhere that are young. It would behoove the NBA now, with the storylines and some of the stars getting older, for the Knicks to at least be in a position to take a piece of the baton. And I think they're getting there. There you go. Rondale Moore, former Purdue wideout. You got to watch this kid's tape. I know you saw him play a lot as a freshman at Purdue. He's been banged up last couple of years, going to the draft, runs a 4.340, flies, squats 600, first-round pick late in all probability, real interesting player. Want to get to know the young man a little bit. We'll chat with him coming up next. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. You know, I love this time of the year as we get ready for the prospects and we really start to tighten up our boards and get a sense of who's going to get drafted where and who are the real viable first-round candidates. Our next guest is certainly one of them. Star from Purdue, had a monster freshman year, well over 100 catches, well over 1,200 yards, 12 touchdowns. Then the injury bug crept in, and we were deprived of, certainly Boilermaker fans, but all of us as football fans are deprived the chance of watching an absolute superstar on that level, certainly, do his thing. Just 7 games the last couple of years, but based on the production and based on the flat-out speed and the strength, Rondale Moore from Purdue, formerly for the Boilermakers, is a guy, is a young man that is going to make somebody very happy and quite possibly in the first round. So we have him on the show now, get a sense of what he's all about. I always like to talk to the young players and see how they are before they get into the NFL, and we have a chance to do that now with Rondale. Rondale, how you doing, buddy? Welcome to Tiki and Tierney. How you doing today?
I'm doing good. I appreciate you guys having me.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I sent out a bunch of your highlights earlier today on Twitter, on social media, when I told everybody you were coming on the show. And I saw you play a lot as a freshman, and I know you run like the wind. I have you around a 4.3 change. Everybody knows you could run. I didn't necessarily know, Rondale, that you squat 600 pounds. And I realized that you weren't reluctant to try to run through somebody, even though you're only 5'9"-ish. The pop that you pack with the speed is among the more unique combinations in the draft. How are you feeling about the prospects going in round one? Are you feeling pretty good about that?
Yeah, I'm always going to bet on myself and be confident in my ability and what I'm capable of doing in between the lines. So for me, do I think I'm a bona fide first round pick? No question about it.
How do you squat 600 pounds? Like how I got these little pencil legs. If Tiki was here, he'd be laughing at my pencil legs. We always make fun of him. I got these little skinny pencil legs. 600 pounds. Give me, like, take me into the weight room, Rondale, with some of the other receivers, and give me, like, a sense of, like, are they 400 pounds? Like, I know 600 is great for a receiver, but just what do you think is the average for a receiver to actually squat that kind of weight? What's the average?
I mean, if I had to put a number on it, I'd say most receivers could probably squat around 500. I think that's the elite guys when I say most receivers. But, I mean, I'm not going to sit here and act like it's all strength, man. I've got some God-given abilities that, you know, I was blessed with, born with, and just continue to build on. And I can't, you know, go without giving some of my guys credit. So from my trainer, Chris Vaughn, to my strength staff at New Albany, to Trinity, to Purdue, you know, they've all been a part of my development and process in between.
This is what I love hearing. And this is a grounded young man. We're talking to Rondale Moore from Purdue. See, this is great because you're going to be doing all the Zoom sessions and you do the pro day, and all the GMs and scouts will descend upon Purdue's field and they'll watch you do your thing. But, you know, I love young players who have the awareness to certainly acknowledge that, you know, you were blessed with gifts that the average person like myself just was never given. Of course, you have to work on those to make sure you protect those gifts, clearly. But also to dole out the praise to your teammates, to your staff. I think that's absolutely wonderful. What you yourself just said, Rondale, that you were given these incredible gifts, right? At what age, you know, when you run a 4.33 now, or 4.3 now, basically, at what age, when you first stepped on, it could have been a soccer field, baseball, whatever, basketball court, like, when did you know, man, I mean, I got a little something extra in these kicks. I'm a little different than all these other kids I'm playing with. How old were you?
Yeah, honestly, man, I got into flag around 7, 8 years old, and, mm-hmm. you know, I noticed that I could stick my foot in the ground and change directions and, you know, make people look silly at a young age. But when I got to about 9 years old, eventually I had to stop carrying the ball. I was scoring 8 times a game, and it was like a rule where I couldn't carry the ball anymore. So that was probably around the age I realized.
Are you serious? So the Rondale rule. He's not allowed to touch the ball. He's too good. Oh, my God. So the crazy thing, even with these sick highlights and with the incredible production as a freshman, and obviously when you played the last 2 years, when you were on the field, you put up, you know, you still did your thing. You're not among the first receivers we hear. We hear Chase. We hear Devontae Smith. You know, and of course, you're confident. Why are you not mentioned right next to those players? You can make a case that you should be.
Yeah, I think it's simple. I mean, I've been hurt. Availability is important, and I do understand where people could believe that could be a problem, and, you know, that's fine with me. But as far as I'm concerned, man, I have all the tools in the toolbox to be a number one receiver, a complete receiver, and win in a variety of ways. I mean, I'm very versatile, and I've shown that on pretty much every game I've had a chance to play in. So for me, man, I don't really get caught up into who's this and who's that. It only takes one team to fall in love with you, so more concerned about that and bettering myself and those guys around me.
Now, listen, Purdue is not necessarily known as wide receiver U. There's been some good tight ends, and obviously Drew Brees is a quarterback and others. I mean, there's got a ton of players in the pros, obviously. But I'm always fascinated to discover how somebody with your talent winds up, and this is not a knock at Purdue, I've got a lot of respect for Purdue, but you don't see that kind of top flight talent at the skill positions that often at Purdue in recent years. If you didn't go there, where else would you have gone? Who else was knocking down your door? I always find that interesting.
Yeah, well, I was actually committed to Texas before I decommitted and attended Purdue. So, I mean, that could have been an alternative. But as far as, you know, who I was getting, I mean, I could have ended up at Nebraska, Ohio State. So, I mean, those were two big ones for me.
Okay, so everybody wanted you, basically. Everybody wanted you.
Yeah, I pretty much had the opportunity to go anywhere in the country.
Okay, talking to Rondale Moore from Purdue. So, you know, you got into something interesting before about, and I respect that, you know, whether it's Chase, whether it's Smith, you know, the names are almost immaterial. It doesn't matter, you know, as long as one team believes in you, and certainly a team's going to believe in you, most probably in the first round, you do your thing, and then it really doesn't matter where you were drafted or maybe who was drafted in front of you. Eventually, the talent rises, and it is what it is, and you have your career. But you're going to be asked that question because everything on film, listen, the speed, the burst. I mean, I was amazed, and there were play after play. Not that, and it almost looked like you wanted contact. Like, you put your head down in your pads, and you ran through people, and then obviously ran away from them. But you're going to be asked a lot. I'm going to pretend I'm a GM right now or team president. Rondale, we love you. We want to commit to you. How do we know you're going to be on the field? How do you answer that? That's a tough question to answer.
Yeah. I think, man, you got to play the cards you're dealt. Obviously, I don't go out with the mindset of hurting myself or getting hurt. For me, man, I just go out and play. And unfortunately, I had some unprecedented times where I had a hamstring or whatever. But I'm sure when they do their due diligence on the back end to figure out who I am and what I'm about and what I've done to be out there, to be able to go back out there and be 100%, they'll figure out. It's simple. And it's not a complicated method as to why I should be picked where I'll be picked. I mean, they can ask whoever and ask whatever. So when they do all that and do their extensive research and I go run and the medicals come out, I think everything else will get swept under the rug. So
this is an impressive young man right here. More impressive as the interview goes on. Who was your team growing up, by the way? Who'd you root for in the NFL?
Crazy enough for me, man, I had hoop dreams and I wanted to be a NBA player at the time. So growing up for me, I wasn't much of a big NFL guy, to be honest. I'm only going to say the Colts here because, you know, I'm from Indiana. So Indianapolis was always big for me and where I come from, but I was really an NBA guy growing up.
Oh, you must have thrown down some sick dunks in high school. I mean, are you kidding me? You had to, right?
I actually didn't get a chance to dunk in a game.
What?
Yeah, I could pretty much do every dunk in high school.
Oh, man. So, you know, the process from now, I mean, give us your daily routine. You know, you're obviously getting ready for the combine's different this year. They're going to come to the campuses and all the Zooms, as I mentioned. Rondale Moore wakes up every morning. Take us a little bit through your day. What are you staring at on a day-to-day basis?
Yeah. So right now I'm currently training in Frisco, Texas at Exos. So my day starts at about 7:16, and I say that because that's when my alarm goes off. No significant meaning behind it, but 7:16 is when I set my alarm.
Okay.
Get up, obviously brush my teeth. I leave the house around 7:40 or so. I get to the facility around 8. I'll eat breakfast. After I have breakfast, I'll do my sheet that is basically consists of mobility and loading and doing different things like that just to make sure your body is in where it's supposed to be. Not treatment, but kind of like I said, mobility.
Yep.
From there, the first workout will be at 9:15. 9:15 will be like a lateral or speed session or something like that. Mm-hmm. From there, I'll transition into having a shake, and then I'll have lunch before position work, which starts at 12 p.m. Mm-hmm. After position work, I'll come back to the facility. I'll get treatment or whatever I've got to go through to make sure my body's feeling good. At 2:30, we'll have a lift. And then after that lift, I'll obviously have dinner and another shake as well.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll usually do contrast. So I'll get in the cold tub to the hot tub, or I'll get dry needled or, you know, whatever the case may be,
sure,
just to make sure I'm feeling good.
Wow.
And then from there, I'll drive home. I'll shower. And that's when, you know, the process actually starts and hits you. And that's when I'll have team meetings with teams, or I'll get some free time and play video games with my friends, or whatever. But it's pretty much my day, man. I usually go to bed around 9:30. I'm usually in bed by, so sleep no later than 9:30, 10 o'clock.
That is one busy day. Oh, wow. Well, you're a young man, so you can certainly plow through it. How many pounds? What do you weigh right now, by the way?
Yeah, so I'm currently at 6% body fat, and I'm 182 pounds.
182 pounds. So I mentioned the 4:33:40 a couple times. You run your pro day. You run for everybody. You know, you're absolute in your mind. I know you have a number in your mind. Like, what number would you say, okay, I crushed it? What do you think is your absolute best 40 potential?
Yeah, I'm going to be, I mean, if I run 4.3, I'll be disappointed.
Wow.
So I'll let you do the math.
My man, he's looking to go sub 4.3. I love it. Now, I'm going to let you go. First of all, if I'm a GM, and I've been doing this for a long time. I haven't been a GM, but I've been talking to young men and athletes for a long time. And my instincts with people are usually pretty good. If I'm a GM, I am loving your demeanor. I am loving your focus. I am loving your personality. I'm a big Jets guy. Most times we can't score a touchdown if you spot us 6 points. I know the Jets are looking for skill guys, so I might have to shoot a little text over to my guys over at the Jets facility to make sure that I know they're looking at you, but to really take a look at you. Either way, enjoy the process. If Tiki was here, he would tell you, you go through it once. Enjoy it. Just keep doing what you're doing, and I can't wait to see where you get drafted, and I can't wait to see you play in the NFL, Rondell.
No doubt, man. I appreciate it. God bless.
You got it, buddy. Right back to you. No doubt. Rondell Moore, Purdue. Impressive. That's great. I mean, imagine having the physical capability to say, and it's not arrogance, to say, if I run a 4.3, I'll be disappointed. I mean, that's just incredible. I'll be disappointed. Wow. All right. What did the act? What would you run, buddy? You'd run about a six change? You wouldn't even beat Rich Eisen.
Yes, absolutely.
No, you would not beat Rich Eisen. No, you wouldn't.
Without question.
I don't think you would.
All right. Well, I say yes. I was very fast, especially when I was younger. Obviously.
D-Cell, would he beat Rich Eisen?
I'm gonna go yes. I got faith in Ack.
You do? Well, I mean, I have faith in Ack too, just not doing the 40. Yeah, really gonna beat Rich. All right.
Absolutely. What did he run?
I believe he was five, low fives, never six. I mean, I believe he was five. The last couple of years he started wearing sneakers. I think he was low fives.
Okay.
You think you'd beat that?
Yes.
Okay. Maybe very rarely this assertive with some. I'm gonna have to take your word for it. I mean, it sounds like you can run a little bit back in the day, right?
I definitely did.
Real okay. You know what? Now I'm fully convinced. All right, my money's on you, not on Eisen. Not on Eisen. Plus, you're okay. No, it's on you. You're part of the CBS crew anyway, so I've definitely bet my money on you.
Thanks.
Let's get the update for Mac. We'll come back, hit you with the blast. Hopefully, you guys enjoy that chat with Rondell Moore. That was really good. Axe update is now, and then we'll blast, and then we'll get into the weekend next. Here's Rich.
Well, as expected, Alex Smith's comeback story will continue with another team. Washington cut the veteran quarterback today, saving nearly $15 million under the salary cap. Micah Hyde gets a two-year extension from the Bills worth over $19 million, while the Eagles and center Jason Kelce agree on a new deal for next year, which guarantees him $9 million and could potentially be worth as much as $12 million. 1980 Olympic hockey hero Mark Pavlich has died at the age of 63. He was reportedly found dead at the Minnesota Mental Health facility where he had been for the last 6 months receiving treatment. Pavlich had an assist on the game-winning goal in the upset of the Soviet Union in the semifinals. He spent 7 seasons in the NHL, including 5 with the New York Rangers. Chicago Blackhawks defenseman Brent Seabrook announced his retirement after a 15-year NHL career. Due to injury, Seabrook won 3 Stanley Cups with the Hawks and a gold medal for Canada in 2010. Free agent pitcher Sam Dyson has been suspended for the 2021 season for violating Major League Baseball's policy on domestic violence, sexual assault, and child abuse. I'm Rich Ackerman.
All right, got to get to the blast here. First up, though, answer. This is how we do it. Answer our Ask the Pros question of the day here, brought to you by our friends at O'Reilly Auto Parts. I love this song. This song never gets old. And this one, I believe, is about the NBA. Buddy Gary in Seattle. Detlef in Seattle. Santer's a clown. Gary in Seattle wants to know. He says, guys, what's the biggest surprise of the first half of the NBA season so far? I appreciate that, Gary in Seattle. Yeah, there's a couple of good ones. I spent a lot of time on Julius Randle, so I'll come up with something different. Randle, certainly his transformation, his body, and how he's made players better and elevated some of his teammates. That's one. I'm surprised the Celtics have struggled as much as they have. But, you know, I really think the biggest surprise for me is not a team, it's a player. I think it's LaMelo Ball. I didn't think he'd be this good. I mean, I got to own up to it. We didn't see him. We saw him playing AAU ball and Chino Hills, and then he went over to Australia, and he couldn't shoot anything. His numbers were horrendous, horrendous. And he was 0 points his debut. Remember that? I mean, you watch NBA TV every night. He's dropping 20. He's making sick passes. LaMelo, and he's efficient. His PR is like 18, and he's shooting about 38% from downtown, which is right around the league, actually slightly better than the league average. I mean, he's a great free throw shooter, 16 points a game. He's had a lot of 20-point explosions lately. I'd have to say the biggest surprise is that LaMelo Ball is more refined than I thought he was. He has been terrific. Jordan got his guy. All right. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts. All your car care needs, guaranteed low prices. Excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every single day. And I know that D-Cell probably likes that choice. You're a big LaMelo Ball guy, right?
I was smiling from ear to ear as you said that.
Figured you were, no doubt. That was that dates back to an early, early, early inbounds, out-of-bounds question. And I got on the young man a little bit as if his premise was wildly off base. It was about LaMelo Ball propping him up, and I was wrong. I mean, he's, you know, I thought he could be good because I knew he was a good passer. I thought it would take him a long time to figure out how to shoot. He is a baller, man. He can play, and he is fun to watch. All right, blast time. Let's go.
So many topics, so little time. We give you 5 stories in 5 minutes, but don't take too long or you'll suffer the buzzer. It's time for the blast with Tiki and Tierney.
All right, Disa, what do you got, buddy?
Here we go, BT.
Yo.
Chargers general manager Tom Telesco told the media this week, when it comes to the possibility of signing tight end Hunter Henry this offseason, quote, "We're keeping all of our options open right now," end quote. So, should the Chargers tag Henry, find a way to lock him up long term, or let him walk in free agency if the price is too high?
I don't think you could let him walk. He's too good. You know, he's not the Kelsey Waller. Who am I forgetting? I always Kelsey Waller and who am I forgetting? A third of who's the third? Jeez, Kelsey Waller. Whatever. He's not that type, but he's not that far behind it. He like Hunter Henry is tremendous, and you know if you tag him with the notion that you want to work out a long term deal, spread the money out, that would be the best thing for the franchise. I would be stunned if he walks. And quite frankly, I would be surprised if he's tagged and they do not come up with a long-term deal. I think he's just, he's certainly a top 10 tight end. I think he's top 7, top 8. Andrews, a great receiving, like a red zone touchdown guy. Mark Andrews range for the Ravens. There's a couple. He's right on that list here. So I'd be surprised if he's not on the Chargers next season.
I think George Kittle was the name.
George Kittle. There you go. Absolute Kittle. Thank you.
We were both searching for that.
Gotcha.
The Pistons and Blake Griffin earlier today agreed to terms on a buyout. Mm-hmm. So which contending teams make the most sense to sign the 32-year-old Griffin?
You know, it depends what role he thinks he's going to go to. Like, if you're a team that's, like, in the middle of a conference without a real – nobody really views you as a heavyweight, and you look at Blake Griffin as a guy who's going to elevate you from a good team – to a great team, you're out of your mind. He's just not that player. But can he accentuate certain? Yes. I mean, I think he would help the Celtics. I think he would help the Sixers. I think he would help the Golden State Warriors. He would certainly help the Lakers. He would help the Clippers. He would help the Suns. He would help the Dallas Mavericks. That's something I said before. You know, I could. The Nets don't really need him. Nets need a bigger body is what they need to get. So they're probably focused more on Drummond. But there's a lot of places where if he's going to play 22, 23, 24 minutes a night, which is probably what he's looking at this, maybe a little more, with a point guard who could set him up and get him some easy looks, and some open shots, I think he'll be an asset. But, you know, you have to realize this is a very different Blake Griffin. And if you realize that, then he'll be an asset.
After last night's 119-117 loss to the Wizards, the Clippers have now dropped 6 of their last 9 and have fallen down to the 4 seed in the West. How concerned are you about Ty Lue and company?
Well, I mean, is it going to be a new story every year at the Clippers? You know, last year it was, well, Paul George and Kawhi Leonard didn't get to, they didn't play a whole lot together. They didn't have that great chemistry. So by the time they got to the playoffs, they were a little out of whack. And we know how the playoffs ended for Paul George. And, well, Doc Rivers, he's had a lot of, you know, early playoff, I believe 8 first-round ousters. And so now we want to dump it at Ty Lue's doorstep. Eventually, you might just have to say the team's not good enough. And I don't think they're good enough to win a championship. I'm not picking the Clippers to win a championship. I like them. I mean, you shouldn't, first of all, with Kawhi Leonard alone, you should never lose, you know, 5 out of 6 or 6 out of, that should never happen. With George and, you know, other decent players for sure, I'm very surprised. They need to make an upgrade. At some point, it's not just the coaching, it is roster construction, and they're missing something.
This is a really interesting one here. I'm curious what you think of this.
All right.
The Pittsburgh Penguins had fans in attendance at PPG Paints Arena for the first time in nearly a year, and the team's official Twitter account posted a picture of fans and thanked them for their loyalty. Right. However, the team photoshopped masks on multiple fans to give the perception that everyone was adhering to safety protocols. How big of a deal is this?
That is interesting. How big of a deal is it? It's not a big deal in the sense that they're going to get punished for it. It's a bad look in the court of public opinion. I'm very surprised a professional team would do that. They actually photoshopped masks on people? Wow. How many people were allowed in? Probably only a couple of thousand max. I mean, it can't be a ton, right? And I actually have to look at the social media. I did not see it. Take your word for it. That's poor taste. That's misleading. That's false representation. That's just not cool. That's just not the way it should be. And you know, I'm not going to start lecturing. I mean, come on, man. We're a year into the pandemic. Wear the mask. Does anybody really need to implore you to wear the mask? I know the two states have decided that mask mandates are no longer effective. Texas and Mississippi. I'm not of that mindset. I've got 4 masks in my car. I leave the house. I put it on. Sucks. You can't breathe. I understand it. If you go to a game, wear the mask. That goes without saying. And I'm not a fan of the Penguins doing that. I want to see the pictures, but I don't think it really matters. I mean, if you're telling me they were photoshopped, that's all I need to know. That's surprisingly unprofessional. There you go.
Time's up. The blast is over for another day.
Yeah, trust me, man. We're all tired of masks, you know, especially like when you're working out or something. It's brutal. You know, I was doing a baseball clinic this fall for 5 and 6 year olds. Actually, I guess there were a few 6 year olds, and I had a mask on the whole time. And it was the fall, but you know, the Northeast, the summer kind of extends deeper and deeper than it used to, which is cool. And there were a couple mornings where it was like, you know, 63, not hot, but 64, 65. And I got the mask on and I'm running around with the kids. I'm like panting, like this is, I'm sweating. I sweat as it is anyway. It's uncomfortable. Go to the game, just put the mask on, please, please. All right, everybody have a great Friday night. All right, be careful, enjoy yourself. Tink is off Monday, so I'm solo again. He's back Tuesday. Safe, sensible, and sane. Have a great weekend. I'll see you Monday.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week 1? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.
Let's go.